Now, back to The Drive with Steve Jackson on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
The Dick Cavett Show. Tonight with special guests, John Lennon and Yoko Ono. Ladies and gentlemen.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Dick Cavett. He is with us. He's one of my all-time broadcasting heroes. This is huge for me. I'm actually a little nervous, but it's so cool to talk to him. They're doing a 50th anniversary tribute of the Dick Cavett Show with various folks like John Hodgman, Dave Hill, Lance Bangs, and more. It's coming up a week from tomorrow. Friday, January 12th at the Marines Memorial Theater as part of this year's Sketch Fest. And I'm not just saying he's one of my all-time heroes just because he's on the phone. It's true. If you don't know who Dick Cavett is, you must be six. Anyway, there's so much to talk about. Let's get to it. Dick Cavett is with us. Dick, thank you so much.
It's all right.
How's it going?
I'm in Connecticut where it's possible. We'll never get out of here because of the snow.
Oh, man, and the cold.
Luckily, not in a car.
Good.
But we had bigger snows than this in Nebraska, so.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Easterners panic. This is a bad one. This is really a bad one.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, it's a real pleasure to talk to you, and I love the fact that they're doing this tribute to the Dick Cavett Show at Sketchfest. One of many big tributes and things going on this year, but this is none bigger than this one, in my opinion. It's so hard to even think about where to begin, but let's begin with the first show, the PBS show, right?
Yeah, that was... well, actually, the first show was the ABC show.
Oh, okay.
In the morning, I had a daytime show there. Then they fired Joey Bishop. I mean, they've settled with Joey Bishop.
Right, ABC.
Put me in. And then I went to PBS after that. And then to MSNBC or one of those.
Yeah.
CNBC, I guess. as soon as you get settled, they move you.
I mean, looking at a list of the people you've interviewed over the years, from Salvador Dali and Groucho Marx, Katharine Hepburn, Judy Garland, Marlon Brando, of course, the infamous John and Yoko show. And I was just rewatching Forrest Gump last weekend. And that scene where he's on your show with John Lennon is just amazing, don't you think?
Yeah, that's curious, isn't it?
Yeah.
I found that... sort of going through the looking glass, seeing myself in Forrest Gump. But Hanks is wonderful to watch work. He's just such a seasoned pro if it's National Cliche Week. He's the best.
Yeah, he's certainly one of the top of his generation, which is going to continue for a long time. I want to ask you how you got started. I've been in broadcasting 45 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. You've been doing it longer, obviously, but how did you get started in all this? So you grew up in Nebraska.
Wait a minute. Have I been in it longer than you have?
Yeah, sorry to say, Dick.
can we alter these figures a little?
Young Dick.
From Nebraska, I went to Yale, and from Yale, I hung out at the Jackie Gleason show and everything I could in New York that was show business, and backstage at the Schubert Theater where Broadway shows were there every week.
Wow.
And I was just in hog heaven being near all that show business.
Yeah.
And then there's the oft-told tale of how I wrote a monologue and handed it to Jack Parr, and he hired me and everything. If that hadn't happened, and if he hadn't come out of the men's room at that time on the sixth floor of NBC, you would be talking to an empty phone at this end.
So you became a writer for Parr, right?
Yeah, I started as a writer for him. And as a matter of fact, if you're scrupulously interested in facts. I began as a talent booker. They didn't have an opening on the writer's staff, so I got to talk to guests and make notes on them and get to know them, and that was great fun. But then writing was more status and certainly more money.
Yeah, without question. And that led to you finally being on camera. And yeah, I spaced for a moment there, but you're right. Of course, you're right. It's your life. But you did start the ABC show first and then wound up at PBS. What would you consider the differences between, the network television and PBS?
You had less hassle on PBS.
Sure.
Then I kind of enjoy trouble, so whenever I had it with ABC, it turned out to be somewhat entertaining. also, no commercial break for a half hour.
Yeah.
It takes some adjusting to when you've been able to get out and say, we'll take a break here and so on. But essentially, all television seems just about the same to me. In my kind, I mean, where you sit and talk to somebody until it's time to go home.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do this show 3 hours a day for 9 years without taking breaks.
Yeah, I think you might. It might ruin your bladder for one thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure, okay. You have that provided for.
So what are you doing these days besides being honored and such? And I know you've written books, you do a lot of stuff, but
I keep being in people's documentaries. Every time I turn around, somebody dies and they do a documentary, and it'll be somebody that I had on my show. Mm-hmm. And also, I shouldn't confess this, but every so often I watch myself on Decades. The Decades channel is running my old shows 5 days a week.
Yeah, yeah. I've been watching some of that.
And, Steve, it's a strange feeling to sit there with someone you knew decades ago, and they're dead.
Yeah.
So that it gives you a different attitude in watching yourself talk to them than if you knew they were alive. A lot of them are dead. I guess chronologically that happens. I was sort of early 30s, and many of my guests were, of course, in their 50s and 60s and 70s even, and probably some 80s. So a lot of those get lopped off by Father Time.
I got to talk about, I hope you can talk about this. I believe you've been quoted as saying it was the worst show of your life or your career. And of course, it was John Cassavetes and Columbo, Peter Falk. Yeah, and they were all totally drunk, right?
Yeah, they were. What an elegant friend of mine pronounced "shafast." It's almost French, isn't it?
Totally shafast.
They were coming and going. That was funny because they decided to be hilarious by falling down and pulling each other's shoes off and smelling their feet and really, Noel Coward-like high-class comedy. and I really got sick of it, but I mostly it was just disbelief. I was proud that I said at one point to the audience, this is why I never joined a fraternity.
Yeah, didn't you walk off the show at one point and then come back?
I think I must have. I haven't seen that in a long time. I think I maybe threatened to or jumped over the wall there on the set. The thing that really struck me, not as a joke, was that in those same chairs 1 week earlier were Alfred Lunt, Lynn Fontanne, and Noel Coward.
Oh, my God.
And here we got three louts.
That's 180 degrees there. Did they ever apologize to you or mention it at all? Or
they were so embarrassed when they would run into me on the street. I ran into, I think, each of them at some point afterward. The worst part for them was either their director or their PR man, when they went off into the wings when we were finished, just gave them a brutal tongue-lashing.
Wow.
Saying if there were anybody was going to buy tickets for this movie, they won't now, thanks to what you've done.
Was
just standing there sheepish like kids being disciplined.
Yeah, wow.
The movie did die, but it was a rather good film, actually.
Was that The In-Laws?
It was, was it Husbands? No.
Oh, yeah, I think Husbands, yeah.
I think that's right.
So this Sketchfest tribute here in the Bay Area, and by the way, you're going to be a lot warmer when you come here. It's celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Dick Cavett Show. John Hodgman, Dave Hill, Lance Bangs are going to be in conversation with the great Dick Cavett, who's joining us right now. Yeah, that's going to be so much fun. It's at the Marines Memorial Theater a week from tomorrow, Friday, January 12th, as part of the annual Sketchfest. There's so much going on at Sketchfest. Have you been following some of the people appearing this year? And it's just astonishing. They get everybody.
Yeah, they really do, and it certainly gets your money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Enterprise.
So I guess you're going to be up with those guys, and in conversation, you're just going to be telling stories like someone that you've talked here about today.
That's the image I have of it. Yeah,
yeah.
We will reminisce and shock the audience with obscene tales from the backstage show business. whatever we come up with, I guess, is what they're going to get.
You interviewed, I guess, then Vice President Spiro Agnew before he resigned, and then, of course, his boss resigned later on. But apparently I've read that it's another least favorite guest story, Spiro Agnew. Can you talk about that?
Oh, well, you know, you never know. The idiot question, who's been your greatest guest? How on earth could you answer that?
Yeah.
Or could you know?
That's why I like asking about the worst guests.
You could know a favorite. But somebody funny originally said worst guest. The only thing that leapt to mind quickly was Spiro Agnew and his notorious charm. It was just at the beginning of the campaign. He was just new on the scene. And they said, we're putting up some cartoons of him, caricatures, and he'll have funny things to say about them. And they put them on a blackboard or something, a tack board. And each one I referred to, he had nothing to say about it. Now, this one by Herb Lock, he made your eyes sort of slit-like. And he would say, yeah, that's right.
Wow.
I have the anagram curse. I rearrange letters of words to the point where it ruins my thought. And I was really so sorry that it was just 2 days after I had Agnew there in my clutches that I could have said to him, rearranging the letter of your name, Spiro Agnew, spells grow a penis.
Oh, he didn't love that one.
Yeah. I hope it got to him somehow.
I'm sure it probably did at some point. Oh, man. Well, those shows were so amazing. And as I said, I've been a huge fan. I watched, on YouTube and the channel on... What's the name of the channel again?
Decades is the network. It's owned by CBS.
Right.
And check with your cable company and see if you have it.
Yeah, I know I do.
Yeah.
And are they running both ABC and PBS?
They're actually plucking from ABC and PBS.
Cool.
So sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's half hour.
Right.
And it's a strange feeling.
I can imagine.
It's a strange feeling when the one person I'm talking to is dead, but when there are four guests... I'm the only one still moving, and it's very spooky.
Man. So this is going to be so
that's
great.
Life.
Yeah, that's life. A week from tomorrow, the 12th, at Marines Memorial Theater, which is a great venue. You're going to enjoy that. It's
good.
Part of SF Sketch Fest, a tribute to the 50th anniversary of the Dick Cavett Show. John Hodgman, Dave Hill, Lance Bangs, in conversation with the great Dick Cavett. I can't.
Guys, and you make this very painless.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I've heard that before, and I always smile when someone says that.
Have me back.
Oh, we would love to. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll check in with you from time to time, because, man, like I said, you're one of my broadcasting heroes, and I've been a fan since I was a kid. But, you know.
I have to lie down now.
Remember, I was 19 45 years ago when I started in radio, so.
19?
Yeah.
Boy.
Pretty amazing. Well, I will hold you to that, and we got your number, so we'll check in with Dick Cavett from time to time, and
okay.
I hope to meet you a week from tomorrow at Marines Memorial Theater. It's an honor talking to you, sir.
How can they stop us from meeting?
Exactly, they can't.
Okay, Steve. Thank you.
All right. The great Dick Cavett. Thank you, sir. Wow. Wow. That's a career highlight for the kid here. And now we can call him later on. Hey, Dick, it's us. Oh, my God. We'll be talking more about Sketchfest not only today but next week. Let me just run some of this by you. They're doing a tribute to Ricky Gervais. He's going to be there in conversation with the great Christopher Guest. Tribute to Jane Lynch. She's going to be there in conversation with Ian Brennan, John Michael Higgins, who works with Christopher Guest all the time, and Michael Hitchcock, the Dick Cavett tribute. And, oh, my God, a tribute to Louis Black. He'll be in conversation with Ed Wasserman and so much more. Oh, God. An afternoon with Bill Burr. These days, he's probably my second favorite comedian in the world, and he's going to be in conversation with the amazing Kevin Pollak. We never had Burr on, did we? We tried. We did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I know we've had Pollak on. And it goes on and on. They're going to be a spotlight on Baskets, the TV show that Zach Galifianakis put together. It'll be he and Louis Anderson, who I was listening to on Sirius XM today on my way in. And a while back, I thought, I don't know. I can't get into Louis, but they've been running him a lot on the comedy channels, and he's killing me. He's cracking me up. Audible is presenting a thing called Stinker Let's Loose. John Hamm, Busy Phillips, Paul F. Tompkins, Andy Richter, Kevin Pollak, and on it goes. And that's just the beginning. There's so much more going on. It begins next Thursday, I'm sorry, a week from today, the 17th annual SF Sketchfest. It runs from the 11th to the 28th. Go to sfsketchfest.com and check out the 2018 lineup. It is beyond belief.